Sahasranama means 1000 names. So in our tradition, various 1000 names of different gods and goddesses are there. Of them, most famous ones are Lalita Sahasranama on Devi and Shiva Sahasranama and Vishnu Sahasranama. Sri Vishnu Sahasranama is given in Mahabharata, the Anushasana Parva. Yudhishthira goes to Bhishmacharya and gains this 1000 names from him. So Yudhishthira, after having conquered the Kauravas, though he has become the king, he is not very happy, not very satisfied, disturbed. So even after becoming the king, still if I am not 100% satisfied, then what is that that I have missed which I should know? That is what is going on in his head. So his advice to go and meet Bhishmacharya. Bhishmacharya, the oldest, you know, great grandfather of Kauravas and Pandavas. And all the experiences of the wise man, he wants to seek, saying, you have lived so many years, you have also achieved many things. Now I have become the king. I'm not satisfied, I'm not happy. So what, knowing which, one becomes absolutely contented, satisfied? That's the question Yudhishthira asks. And then Bhishmacharya gives. And then in that he gives 1000 names of Lord Vishnu. Now, there are various tradition agamas in which various sahasranamas are given. And the ones which are given in Mahabharata and the Puranas given by Sage Vyasa is considered authoritative by everyone. Certain things which are given in a particular agama is considered authoritative by those particular people who follow that agama. Now, to be able to chant this Vishnu Sahasranama, you don't need any particular qualification. For that matter, any Sahasranama. Yes, of course, a purified mind, as intellect which is subtilized, would help you to go deeper. But the very Sahasranama itself will help you when you chant, when you do japa, and then will help you to purify the inner personality. So, like when you come to Jnana Marga, it says you need to have certain qualifications. No. Viveka, Vairagya, Satsampati, and then Mumukshatva, all these qualifications are given. But to come to Vishnu Sahasranama, to study that, to chant it, you are not emphasized on the particular qualification. Because the idea is, as you understand the Sahasranamas and you chant, slowly, slowly, the inner personality gets purified. So, therefore they don't emphasize on any particular qualification as such. And Vishnu Sahasranama is given in about 142 verses. And in this 1000 names are there, though it says 1000 names, about 90 names are repeated. 74 are repeated twice, 14 are repeated twice, and 2 are repeated 4 times. Whereas in Lalita Sahasranama, no name is repeated. And even though some names are repeated here, you would find the names having different meanings. So you can take them as not repeated. Now, any scripture or anything when we study, what is the necessity to study that? A very lifestyle in our culture is, you should live after gaining the knowledge of how to live. Don't live simply to merely aggrandize the wealth, assuming that's the purpose of life. Therefore, initially, the student is taken to the guru, the gurukula, the dharmas are taught, the sastras are taught, and then the shishya, having learned all that from the guru, goes about earning artha and kama, using dharma that he learned from the guru, and slowly as he also gains artha and kama, he or she also rises above the artha kama. And then in the head, the goal of self-realization becomes firm. So shastras talk about four purusharthas. They're called as artha, kama, dharma, moksha. So artha, wealth, kama, enjoyment, entertainment, dharma, righteousness, rules of living, and dharma also equips you with the ability to gain punya, which will take you to heaven. And then beyond that is what is called as moksha. So artha, kama, dharma, moksha. So this purushartha nishchayam will come once we learn the scriptures properly and live accordingly. All the scriptures talk about is sadhya, sadhana, viveka. Sadhya means goal. Sadhana means the means. Viveka means knowledge. It clearly tells you what is the goal. Because majority of us, we just gain the intelligence from schools and colleges, and then our life is mostly preoccupied in mere acquisition of wealth and enjoyment in the world. And after so many years of life, some people get this thought like Yudhishthira got. What is it? I've experienced so many things, but still that inner contentment or satisfaction has not come. So then what exactly I should have known? Now, even though the interest may be there, but the body has become old, so it will not cooperate. So we should have learned this when we were young. Yes, better late than never. But the way we need to proceed is learn this before plunging into life. Become clear about what the purpose of life is all about. And then while you go towards that purpose, which is moksha, you also need to survive and transact in this world. So the scriptures also teach you how to transact and survive at the same time, rise above the ethereal world and enjoyments of this world. Don't be stuck in it. Let not the material world become the end all and be all of your life. So that clear goal, that's very, very important. In fact, in your life, if a goal is firmly fixed, everything else will automatically fall in place. The problem is, we don't know what is the goal. We have no goal whatsoever. Therefore, we are just meandering. Just whiling away our time. When a goal is fixed, everything at the material level, physical level, emotional level, intellectual level, at all levels, aligns itself with that goal. What Swamiji calls as paradigm shift. You know, so once you have fixed the goal, there will be a complete shift in your life. Whatever you accumulate, you will check whether this will help you to reach that goal. If this is not going to help me to reach that goal, then why should I accumulate? Enormous amount of energy we spend, and we convert those energies into all these objects, isn't it? All the objects that you've got, what are they? They are all nothing but your energy converted into certain objects. So what we are doing is, along spending energy and converting them into different objects and keeping around with us, assuming as if that will give us the security. But what we have found over a period of time is, the gadgets around us have increased. Simultaneously, the insecurity, the sense of insecurity is also increased. That's the problem. In spite of us accumulating so much, we find suddenly the sense of insecurity has increased. As we were children and we are growing up, we didn't have this much insecurity. We know that parents are there. Mostly this much insecurity was not there, very little. But as you have grown, suddenly with all the knowledges we have gained in schools and colleges, considered to be a very intelligent person, but a lot of insecurity. Gadgets is increased, insecurity also increased. Therefore, why is this happening? Because of wrong approach, wrong way of life, what they call as materialistic. So, the whole thing is the senses see the world. We only know this. So we think accumulating the worldly objects and beings in our life is the goal. And when we do that, we are considered successful person, well settled person. Here we are seeing in this Sahasranama how it was given. It was given to a person who in modern terms well settled, Yudhishthira. Isn't it? The enemies, mainly the Kauravas, were conquered. What's the problem? At least before Duryodhana and all the other fellows were there, constantly bothering. Now all of them were conquered. Still he was unsettled mentally. So materially settled and has become the king. He was mentally unsettled. So, we should learn from these things. So the Shastras give us the Purusharta Nishchaya. Then we understand, okay, the goal is knowing my true self. Who am I? Until and unless I know my real self, I will only be meandering here and accumulating things, but I won't be satisfied or secure. So, once that becomes clear, then the material things, the body, the mind, the intellect, everything will be aligned. You'll say, if this will help me to go to that goal, I'll do it. If it's not going to help me, why should I unnecessarily waste my time? It's not going to help me. Unnecessarily I'm picking and keeping with me, however expensive it might be. What is the use? It's called paradigm shift. In the Upanishads, the Mundaka Upanishad, the beautiful says, goal is Brahman. And the bow is the Upanishads or the Shastras. The arrow is you and me, the sadhak. We need to sharpen the personality, the arrow, with the dharma vishaya, with all the values. And then with detachment, we pull ourselves back from indulging in the world. Focusing on the goal of moksha, release the arrow. Then the arrow will go and penetrate the goal and become one with it. This is the Upanishadic way of living. The Upanishadic way of living or Vedanta way of living is this. Upanishads are the bow, meaning the Shastras. You are the individual personality to be kept on the Shastra. Always taking guidance from the Shastra. That's why they say, Vedas are the ultimate pramanam, ultimate authority. That doesn't mean you mechanically follow them, after understanding. And they tell you, artha, kama, dharma, moksha. You won't be happy merely acquiring artha, kama without dharma. Then you will be better positioned when you acquire artha, kama, aligning with dharma. But even that is not ultimate. You have to go further and attain moksha. Give you that clarity. When you are lost in a desert without a mobile phone or a GPS, how will you get back to the city? Only with the help of the sun, isn't it? The sun rises, you know, that's the direction which is east. So then you know west, north, south, northwest, northeast, southwest, northeast, all the directions become clear. With that clarity, you can proceed towards your city, get back. So in life, all of us are meandering without direction. And the direction is given by the Shastra. But get to that direction, we need to prepare ourselves. Ultimately, what will help you to attain moksha is knowledge. Remember that. Direct means to liberation is jnanam, knowledge. Karma, bhakti, all things are indirect. Direct is knowledge. Because you have lost something, literally you've lost something, and you have to find it, you have to do some work, some action, and find it. Here, you have not lost the self. You are ignorant of your true nature. The ignorance of your true nature, due to which you are considering yourself to be this limited individual. And once you have identified with this limited individuality, then the sense of incompleteness is there. And due to the sense of incompleteness, to make you complete, your thoughts run towards the world. And when the thoughts are running towards the world, initially they are called attachment. Thereafter it's called as desire. Then all the modification comes. The samsara starts. So the problem is ignorance of your true nature. The problem is not that you have lost your true nature. You are ignorant of your true nature. So you don't have to do anything to find it. Even when you do not know who you are Atma. So this is a little peculiar problem. How to solve this? You can solve this only by gaining the knowledge of the self. So the knowledge of the self is a direct means to remove the ignorance. But the knowledge of the self will establish in a person who is purified himself or herself. In an impure mind, the knowledge will not establish. In the introduction to Bhagavad Gita, when we had the invocation, nine shlokas we study, given by Madhusudana Saraswati. In that, in one of the shlokas, he says, Sarvopanishado Bhavo Doka Gopala Nandanaha Parko Vatta Sudhir Gopta Duktam Gitamritam Mahat. In that, he says, all the Upanishads are the cow. Sri Krishna is the cowherd boy. And he milks the cow. The presence of the calf, which is Arjuna. The milk is Srimad Bhagavad Gita, the essence of Upanishad. And that Bhagavad Gita milk is Amrita, is capable of making you immortal. Though in the presence of Arjuna, the milk is drawn from the Upanishads by Sri Krishna, the milk ultimately is enjoyed and who benefits from that? Sudhir Bhokta is this. Sudhir Bhokta. Wise people, purified people enjoy. Impure person cannot retain it. So, therefore, whenever we study the scriptures, we also emphasize on sadhana, disciplines. Without discipline, we indulge in the world and then come and study. We may understand when we are listening, but we will be finding it difficult to read. So a dharmic lifestyle will increase and maintain sattva in you. As a result, you will be able to imbibe the knowledge. That's why we say, it's very important you lead a dharmic, sattvic lifestyle. Then, with the purification, then the knowledge is gained, it establishes. It's like preparing the soil and then sowing the seed. In a soil which is not conducive, if you sow the seed, it won't germinate. So, you need to prepare the soil, then sow the seed. So, the other practices of yoga, karma, bhakti, all prepares a person. With that preparation, when a person takes in the knowledge, just mere hearing is enough for him to establish in the wisdom, says the scripture. there are different types of students. One is the highest category. He's like camphor. Strike the matchstick and take it closer to the camphor to catch fire. The other student is a mediocre. He's like charcoal. You have to keep on blowing, only then it will catch fire. The third category is the lowest. Uttama, Madhyama, Adama. The Adama, the lowest category of a person, a student, is like the stem of a banana tree. It will never catch fire. Therefore, they emphasize on inner preparation, maintaining a sattvic lifestyle. Starting from utilizing the sattvic time, early hours of the day, and keeping yourself awake for a minimum period of time during the tamasic time. Morning 4 a.m. to 6 a.m. is considered Brahma Muhurta, sattvic time. From 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., once the sun comes out, everybody presents to activity. So it's rajasic time. 6 p.m. onwards, all tamasic activity starts. So the lifestyle which is conducive to gain this knowledge is to go to bed early, rise early. And then studying the scriptures, doing a little bit of yoga pranayama, and then the food intake also should be sattvic. The company that you have also should be sattvic. All that that you keep, and then you get yourself involved into the studies of the shastra, then you will really. Can you hear me? Have I got disconnected?
No, we can hear you.
We can hear you.
Okay, sorry. Something popped up on the screen, so I got disconnected. So, therefore, you need to understand that in every aspect, I must maintain sattva. Otherwise, simply listening to one lecture or reading a certain book, you will get some information. And you can use those information in your tea parties, discuss and show that you are also spiritual. But if you really want to bring about transformation, you need to keep yourself closer to sattva. So that's the paradigm shift. You know, when I first came to Delhi in 2005, one of the class members here, he had one extra apartment somewhere near Rasampur. So he said he can stay in our place for a few years because after that his daughter was going to shift there. So he said, I'll let you know whenever the requirement is there. Well, in advance, I'll let you know so that you will not be under the pressure to vacate immediately. So that's how I started my classes and all that in Delhi. At the beginning, I used to stay in Madhya. Then he needed the apartment. He gave me time. Then I was wondering whether I'll continue in Delhi or I'll be going back. That time, I used to give lectures in one company in Faridabad. When they came to know about this, they said, no, we will give you the accommodation and it's not an issue with you. We'll find it very close to our area in Faridabad. It's not very far from Delhi, you know, you can stay here and all that. Spoke to Swamiji. Then they found an apartment and they found me a place which was huge house, but little far away in Faridabad. I told them, listen, I have come to Delhi. 100 class, I have no particular interest in Delhi or any place. This is the work. So if I'm going to stay in a big house, but it's going to be difficult for me to do the work, I might as well not stay there. So find me something closer to Delhi. That's how I'm staying where I'm staying now. Why I'm mentioning this is, everything that you have should be aligned with the group. That's called paradigm shift. That's called Purushartha Nishchaya. Simply anybody gives anything, you will just keep it with you. Because it's expensive, rare thing. So what? Somebody gave a mala to Hanumanji, he put it to his ears, he didn't say Ram, he threw it. What is the use if things that I have I'm not going to help me to get to my goal. Why should I have it? Unnecessarily accumulated. So, I think it is Oliver Goldsmith who says, where wealth accumulates, men decay. Men means women also. Now, where wealth accumulates, men decay. Means what? It's not that if you have wealth, you will decay. If you have the tendency to hoard, accumulate, you will decay. In the Sahasranama that we are going to study, Vishnu Sahasranama, there's a portion there called as Jnanam. There is this word, the name called Lakshmikanta. Lakshmikanta means, you know, when the gods and goddesses together, they churned the milky ocean. A lot of things came, around 14 things came, including alahala poison, kastuba, alahala poison, etc. So, out of that, Lakshmi also came. And she came with a mala. And everybody was ready. The devas, the asuras, everybody was ready for Lakshmi to put the mala around them. But Lakshmi only put the mala around Narayana. Because Narayana was least interested in her. Meaning he was absolutely detached. So Lakshmi is attracted to somebody who is detached to Lakshmi. So wealth stays in a family where there is no attachment to wealth. If you are attached to wealth, you will lose your wealth. Swami Ramakrishna cautions to this. The way to gain anything is to lose it. Attached you lose, detached you gain. The moment you come to spirituality, you will begin to understand that everything is ulta. The way we understand and live today is all ulta, perverted. We are go-getters, go-getters, accumulate, you know, all ego-driven. Same way we also relate in relationships. They're trying to win, dominate over the other. Remember, if you want to be successful in relationships, you should be a loser. After all, with whom are you losing? You're losing to your own spouse, your parents, your in-laws, your children, your brothers, your siblings. What is the big deal? If you try to dominate, you lose the relationship. So, the way to maintain relationships is by losing the ego. The way to become successful is again by losing the ego. The way to enjoy also is renunciation. Renunciation is a secret of success, is a secret of enjoyment, is a secret of relationship. But the way we proceed today is all the opposite. That's why none of this is there with us. Success is not there. Enjoyment is not there. Relationship also not there. So, it's all ulta. So Lakshmi came and Narayana was least interested. She put the mala. Meaning what? Wealth stays in a family which is not attached to wealth. So what they do is they understand that they are trustees. They use the wealth for the welfare of the world. For the welfare of the world. So the moment I understand that, then I will say, first thing in life I need to do is fix the goal. We will teach our children also to fix the goal. When the goal is fixed, life becomes, you know, easy to live. Thereafter, if they sell it or buy one, 25 free, how does it matter? I don't need it. Even if there are 25, I don't need it. So, it becomes clear. Many things becomes automatically dropped. So this Vishnu Sahasranama also, when Yudhishthira goes and asks Bhishmacharya, he starts by saying, Kimekam Devasam Loke Kimbap Ekam Parayana. supreme goal. What is that one goal? What is that one devata whom I should worship? Which will give me everything. In the Mundaka Upanishad, the question asked the student is saying, what knowing which, everything becomes known. Directly they want to get there. So, Vishnu Sahasranama, so it gives 1,000 names of the Lord, and each name has different names and pertinent. What we need to understand is that also gives us direction. It purifies facts. When we chant the verses, you will see some of the verses are very difficult to pronounce. Even your words, you know, you will find it difficult to pronounce those words. So, Shuddhi will happen even in your words. Kayika, Vachika, Manasa. Our personality is a combination of what? Kayika means the body. Vachika means organ of speech. And Manasa means mind. So, Kayika, Vachika, Manasa, integration happens. When that integration happens, you develop Chitta Shuddhi, Chitta Ekagrata and Chitta Vishalata. This is important. Broad-mindedness, all-inclusiveness, not exclusivity. Our culture talks about Vasudeva Kutumba. The entire world is considered as one man. So there is no question of trying to annex another country with us. Those kind of thoughts are not. If at all annexation happens, the annexation happens based on love, not on war. So, it is Vasudeva Kutumba culture. So, Chitta Vishalata, Chitta Ekagrata, Chitta Shuddhi. So, why this Vishnu Sahasranama Japa one has to get into, said in this very, beginning itself, it is for attainment of liberation, moksha. Sri Mahavishnu Prityarthe says, only interest is reaching the Vishnu. Vishnu means all pervading reality. So Sri Vishnu Sahasranama, Sri means with respect. Vishnu, all pervading reality. Sahasra Nama, 1,000 names. Now, this 1,000 names is not an exhaustive list. Whatever is not said also is his name only. Because the world has come from Brahman. Just like how various parts have come from clay. From clay, various parts have come. From gold, various ornaments have come. And each ornament we have given names. Something new you will create and then one more name will come. So, not only these names, supposing you said Ting Tong, that is also Vishnu's name only. Anything and everything is nothing but Vishnu. Therefore, all names are his name. In fact, the very first name which Vishnu Sahasranama mentioned is Vishwam. Vishwam means universe. Vishwam, Vishnurva, Shaktaro, Bhuta, Bhavya, Bhavatnava. So, Vishwam means world, universe. The entire, multifold universe, all these things that you experience is nothing but the Brahman only. For all forms and names are his. These are only to bring about certain impressions in your mind. So when you understand the meanings and then get into this japa, what we are doing is, we are doing Chitta Shuddhi. Now if you have access to see your subconscious, the conscious is all nice. The conscious, how are you? All that is there in the conscious. In the subconscious, if you go inside, all kinds of dirts are there. We have to finish that one person. I want to finish her. want to finish it. Something or the other is there in your subconscious. It's like in the house, the lounge and all that is very clean. You go to the kitchen and the bedroom and all, it's all dirty. Only very close people are allowed inside. Just only come up to the lounge and go away. So, therefore, we are also like that. Our inner personality is full of dirt. All values for the world. You know, outside, we may be chanting Vishnu Sahasranama. Inside, using this Vishnu Sahasranama, I must get the strength, I must get that ability to draw well to this, to that, all that kind, you know, full subconscious is full of all this world. But when we continue this practice, these names and the word meaning and all that slowly, slowly clears your subconscious. Because from the subconscious impressions, the conscious thoughts come. So when we consciously put in the efforts to chant these names and with our mind we understand the meanings and our body is engaged in the puja while we do this, that integration brings about chitta shuddhi. So when the inside is cleansed, the outside also changes. That's the beautiful. In fact, the meaning of the word japa, japa, ja means removes the janma, pa means that removes papa. Papa means punya also. Janma is because of papa and punya. Here again and again we are born because of the papa and punya we collect. No. In this janma we don't know how much papa and punya we have collected. So, these papa and punya that we keep on collecting are the reasons for us to take birth again and again and again. In the 8th chapter we studied this. And he's asking what is karma? Bhuta bhava utbhava karaha visarkaha karmaha. He said in the 8th chapter. So, what is that which brings forth the beings again and again? The papantam. That is what makes you take birth, janma. So, when you chant the Vishnu Sahasranama or any Sahasranama for the matter, with this understanding, you are using your body, kayika, then the vachika, and then manasa. When the integration happens, the inner shuddhi happens. And slowly, slowly the awareness increases. When the awareness increases, then awareness burns all the papas you could have collected for many janmas, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how many bags of dry hay you have. You just need one matchstick to destroy all of them, to burn all of them. If you have one matchstick and matchbox, you can burn all of them. So, the whole idea is to kindle the awareness. That's what any Sahasranama does, including Vishnu Sahasranama. So, Chitta Shuddhi, Vak Shuddhi, and Body Shuddhi. See, generally we take bath and clean the body. What about the environment? The environment is cleansed. When you do, you know, camphor, arti, you light the lamp. So, similarly, the negative vibrations are cleansed when you ring the bell. And when you chant Vishnu Sahasranama or any Sahasranama, it is like giving bath to your mind, subconscious. So, when we give bath, meaning the sattva will establish. In the start with mind, the knowledge gets converted into wisdom. That's the benefit we get. And any study or any yajna when we venture to do, anything positive that we venture in life to do, we will always have some kind of obstacles. The obstacles can come from known. Obstacles can come from unknown. Obstacles can come from within. Just the day when you decided to do Vishnu Sahasranama, some problem will pop up. Suddenly you will find internet not working, or throat problem, or some other important work, something or the other. In form of attractions and distractions, it will come and bother you. You know, in sage Vishwamitra was conducting the yajna, the rakshasas were coming and disturbing. He could have taken care of them, but then who will do the yajna? So he asked for Lord Rama and Lakshmana. They went with him, they took care of the rakshasas and asuras, and he conducted the yajna. So we as individuals, when we are trying to put in the effort to increase sattva and merge with Brahman, which is beyond sattva, there will be difficulties. Because of our papa and punya, some punyas are getting fructified. So that somebody will come and give you tickets. Free trip, world trip. Something like that. Just giving some example. Some attractions, which is absolute distraction. So, or some kind of a pain in the body or in the family, this thing, that thing, corona, all kinds of things will come. But we understand that as these individuals, I am limited. So, we pray to the totality for protection. We are studying the study of Vishnu Sahasranama today. So, we need protection to be able to deal with all the obstacles, continue study and complete it and absolutely benefit from it. So in the beginning, in any tradition, first you need to remove the obstacles. So the removal of Vighna, and who is that? Vigneshwara, the Lord of Vighna, means obstacles. Vigneshwara, Lord Ganesha. So first they do Ganesha Puja, Ganesha worship. And then we have faith that he is come, he is doing the puja. In fact, you see in your house, whenever you are doing any puja or anything, the priest comes. He makes a Ganesha out of the powder, turmeric powder. And then he will start the puja. And when the puja is over, the Ganesha is sent back. Because if you continue staying in your house, you need to maintain all the things properly. Therefore, for the purpose of the puja, he was invoked, and the puja is over, then giving him all the things that you have to give, say, thank you. That's the tradition. So, in Vishnu Sahasranama also, first, in the beginning, we chant Ganesha Vandana. Now, these are all not part of the Vishnu Sahasranama given in Mahabharata. The tradition. You see, first, the invocations are there, and then comes Nyasa. Nyasa means installation. Then comes Dhyanam, which is meditation. And then only they get into the Sahasranama. So, invocation, 3 verses, installation, meditation, or visualization. So, when we are going to chant Vishnu Sahasranama, we need to prepare the body and mind. Therefore, all these processes are done. Technically speaking, Vishnu Sahasranama means it starts with Vishvam Vishnurva Shatkar. But we will do all these verses also. Invocation, introductory verses, then Nyasam, and then Dhyanam, and then only we will come to the Vishnu Sahasranama. So, Ganesha Vandana. Om Shuklam Bharadaram Vishnum Sashivarnam Chaturbhujam Prasannavadanam Dhyayet Sarva Vighnopashantaye. Shukla Ambaradaram Vishnu. We've been saying Ganesha Vandana. but it says Vishnu. Now there are a lot of interpretations for these things. Some people say it is Vishnu Vandana, because the word Vishnu is used. Now, Vishnu also means all-pervading. So they say, no. It is Ganesha, who is the all-pervading Brahman. So, it doesn't matter. As long as we understand that. Meaning, we humble ourselves in the beginning, saying that, as a limited individual, with my body, mind and intellect, I am venturing into a sadhana, so I need help. I need protection. So, Vishnu. Vishnu means all pervading reality. So, Shukla Ambara Dharma is what? Dressed in white cloth. Vishnu, the all pervading reality, Ganesha, dressed in white cloth, Kashivarnam, the color of the moon, Chaturbhujam, four hands. Now, this is where the controversy comes. The Chaturbhuja means Vishnu also has Chaturbhuja. Ganesha also has Chaturbhuja. So then, some people say Ganesha, some people say Vishnu, doesn't matter. It's all chanted for removal of obstacles. Shukla Ambaradharam Vishnu Kashivaranam Chaturbhujam Prasanna Vadanam. Smiling face. Jaye, I am meditating. Sarva Vijna Upashantaye. Sarva means all obstacles. The known, unknown, within, whatever may be the obstacles. Sarva Vijna Upashantaye. Sarva Vijna Upashantaye. Is what? May you remove all the obstacles. Shanti path. Even in the Upanishad, Bhagavad Gita, we have the Shanti path. Finally, we say, Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. So what? We want to remove all the obstacles. Don't want any obstacles. We want the cooperation from the environment, from people, from the thoughts. So therefore, in the beginning, Lord Ganesha is worshipped. Shuklam Varadaram Vishnu, Kashivaranam Chaturbhujam. Prasanna Vadanam Jayet Sarva Vigno Upashantaye. So, the biggest obstacle is the obstacle called the mind. It's the biggest obstacle. That's the challenge that one needs to grow out of. Dusra Rompa Jai Se Pehle Khud Ko Jai Kare. It's very difficult. Isn't it? When the unknown and the known things can be dealt with. The COVID already they are saying, vaccines and all these things will help you. Slowly they'll deal with this. What about the problem from within? Ego and the mind. Lately, what destroyed Ravana is this. He didn't die of COVID. He died of the problem from within. So these vignas should go. When those vignas go, the self from within reveals itself. So, self-realization is not achieving self. It is revealing the self. And the self is now covered by various desires. All these, dirt should be removed from the personality. That's why we say in our classes, the Vedantin is a Shudra. As per the class division, caste division. It says Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. Now, in this, nobody is superior, nobody is inferior. Unfortunately, over a period of time, wrong understandings have come and they think somebody is superior, somebody is inferior, all these matters. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. Shudra, labor class. What are they doing? They're constantly cleaning, removing dirt. As Brahmins, what one is supposed to do? He or she also supposed to keep on removing all the vasanas. on collecting vasanas from the time we are born. So now we need to remove the vasanas. So when we are so much focused on removing our vasanas, where will be there any time for you to sit and discuss about other fellows' vasanas? You know, I'm criticizing, putting the other fellows down and finding entertainment in that. The worst thing to do. Swami Ramakrishna lectures on, you know, various sins. Because the very first sin he talks about is criticizing people. Going on, finding faults in others, as if we are perfect. There is so much dirt needs to be removed here. Once you understand that, you become aware of it, you will have no time whatsoever to talk ill about anybody else. If you're talking ill about others means you become extrovert. You're wasting your time. It's not going to help you, nor is it going to help the other person. So therefore, then first remove the obstacles so that the path becomes clear. We just completed the Sita Vaja Upanishad. There also is a praying, isn't it? Musa Nekar She, Masurya, Praja Patya. We studied those verses last week. O Pushan, O Sandhat, remove the obstacles and give a right royal path for me to walk up to them. That's the prayer. Prayer, when you say, what is the purpose of prayer? Prayer today has become beggary. Prayer is not beggary. The purpose of prayer is increase the awareness. Prayer is not a part-time, past-time hobby. It's a full-time awareness of truth. So prayer are methods by which you increase your awareness. And also, prayer is a technique by which you, using the gross personality, you instill the thought in your subconscious. The technology of instilling the purpose, the thought in your subconscious using the gross body and the organ of speech and all that. That's called prayer. It's an access to the subconscious. You won't put it in the subconscious, but rather it will make you get up and do things automatically. Because we function according to what is programmed in our subconscious. Our habits are all in the subconscious. And in the conscious mind you are saying, no. From tomorrow morning I'll do this. Tomorrow morning you'll do exactly what your habits are. Therefore it becomes extremely important to program or reprogram your subconscious. So prayer is a method, technique, through which you reprogram your subconscious. So that's the prayer that's going on. So he says, Shukla Amparadharam Vishnu. White becomes Sattva, Shivarga, color of the moon. And Chaturbhujam, four hands, all pervading. Prasanna Vadana, smiling face, no stress, Sakshi. All kinds of troubles may be there. But Ganesha has the biggest stomach. He can digest everything. That's what it means. The book that Swamiji has written called the Symbolism of Hindu Gods and Rituals. The symbolisms of various gods and goddesses and the rituals that we do, the festivals and all that is discussed there. So you can go and read that in your time. Ganesha can stomach all the problems. Everything you can stomach. It means what? Once you have the knowledge, he has the elephant face, the broad, you know, big ears, which means wisdom. that Ganesha, with his wisdom, can stomach any problem, will remain as such. Nothing can affect him. So, we are not like that. Small little things also disturb us. So, we therefore pray to Ganesha. Ganesha, be with us, to protect us, be able to complete the journey that we need way with your help. The first is Ganesha Vandanam. So before we say Shukla, Ambaradharam and all that, we say Om. Om, as you know, is the designation of Brahma. A-U-M, the sound A-U-M represents waking, dream and visible states. And the silence follows the sound is the pure consciousness. So the pure consciousness pervades the waking, dream and visible states. Therefore, Om is the designation given for Brahman. So the purpose for which I am doing Vishnu Sahasranama is to get back to the Brahman. So for that purpose, I am invoking Lord Ganesha. He his blessings, his grace, to be able to continue this journey till I become one with Brahman. So that Ganesha is Prasanna Vadana. Smiling face, relaxed, stress free. And that Ganesha, I am praying, Dhyanam, Jaye, means I am meditating upon Lord. For what purpose? Sarva Vigna Upashanti. Means to remove all the obstacles on my path. Now, in the Vishnu tradition, Vaishnava Sampradaya, they also pray to Vishvasena. Vishvasena is the chief general of Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu, having created this universe, maintains it. And he takes care of this universe through Vishvasena. So in Vaishnava tradition, they pray to Vishvasena again to remove the obstacle. So that's the next verse. Yasya dvirada vatradhyā pārishadhyā parashyatam vignam nignanti sadatam Vishvasenam tamāśraye. Now remember this word tamāśraye, āśraye. Means refuge. Tamashraya means I take refuge in you. I depend on you. Today what are we depending on? We are all depending on the material stuff. People. We don't know whether they will go before us or they will go up before us. So, you are depending on all the impermanent aspects. So it says, Tamashraye. Tamashraye means what? I am depending on you, O Vishvaksena, the chief general of Mahavishnu. Yasyat Vridavatratya, elephant faced one along with his innumerable attendants. Parishatya Vrash Satam. Viknam Viknanti Satam. It always remove the obstacles. Then we depend on him. This is one thing we need to understand. When we move our attention away from the divinity, the dark life starts. When we go closer and closer to the divinity, the bright light starts. The light starts becoming brighter and brighter as you move towards the divinity. As you move away from divinity, the light starts becoming more and more dark. That's the problem. So, when he says, I depend on Vishvasena, he would always move over obstacles. Why it becomes very important for me to depend on him? The higher. As you depend on the higher, you get elevated. As you depend on the lower, you get dragged down. He is ready to uplift you. But are you ready to surrender to Him? That's the problem. He is waiting. But are you ready to hand over yourself to Him? Are you ready to be the instrument in the hands of totality? For the totality to paint the picture using your instrument. Using you as an instrument. So when we take it upon ourselves, the totality leaves it. It's okay, you do it. You paint. But when you hand over yourself to the totality, then the totality does the work through you. So, that's why that word tamashraye. No, in Vaishnava Sampradaya, especially, they emphasize on Sharanagati. Sharanagati a lot. Rajendra Moksha, all that, you know, Sharanagati. Draupati also, when she was disrobed in the parliament, she was holding on to a sari with one hand and with the other she was calling Lord Krishna. Sorry, Lord Krishna. He didn't come. When she threw both her arms and said, oh, Krishna, come. Then he came. What it means is, you still have hopes that this material world will save you. Bhajagovinda says, Bhajagovindam, Bhajagovindam, Govindam, Bhajagovindam. Samprapte sannihite kale nahi nahi rakshati dukkhitam. You are not focusing on Govinda. You are not seeking Govinda. You are not taking refuge in Govinda. You are not taking refuge in the permanent aspects of life. You are taking refuge in the impermanent aspects of life. You still have hope that these things will help you. So many conquerors who were called as emperors went empty handed. So we must get that vairagya from them. And then understand that the only thing, if at all, worthy of defending is that Supreme Lord. So the Supreme Lord's general in our story is this Vishwakshet. So that elephant faced one along with his innumerable attendants, that Vishwakshetena, I depend on who would remove all obstacles always. So in the Vaishnava Sampradaya, therefore they say, Vishwakshetena, you should worship the so Ganesha and then Vishwakshetena. After that, sage Yatra. So this is Yatra of Mahabharata, in which this is there. Now, interestingly, Adi Shankaracharya also has commented upon Vishnu Sahasranama. In Mahabharata, Sanat Sujatiyam. Sanat Sujatiyam is there. Sage Sanat Sujata speaks to Dhritarashtra. That is one text. And then Sri Vishnu Sahasranama, which is conversation between Bhishmacharya and Yudhishthira. And Srimad Bhagavad Gita, conversation between Arjuna and Sri Krishna. All these three, Adi Shankaracharya has also commented on. Commentary is there for Vishnu Sahasranama. Now, the author of Mahabharata is Sage Vyasa. So, before we plunge into any sadhana, any work, we should say Namaskar to the Guru. Guru Vandana. So, the Guru Vandanam is given in the next two slokas. Vyasam Vasishta Naptaram Shakte Pautramakalmasham Charasharatma Jambande Sukatatam Taponidim. Another beautiful, beautiful word, taponiti. Niti means treasure. Taponiti means treasure house of tapas. Who? Sage Vyasa. But for Sage Vyasa, we will not have any of this. Six. After so many invasions, He'll have enormous amount of literature in our country. The wealth of this country is this literature. And Sage Vyasa codified the Vedas. It's not humanly possible to study all the Vedas by one person. So he codified them. He said, okay, you guys do this Veda. You guys do this Veda. You guys do this Veda. Like that he codified. And then he's given 18 Puranas. He's given Brahma Sutra. Tremendous work Sage Vyasa has done. So we salute Sage Vyasa. In fact, we recently had celebrated Vyasa Purnima, Guru Purnima. This is the birthday of Sage Vyasa, where we, you know, bow down to the entire galaxy of sages and saints. So here, in this verse and the next one, says Vyasa is being worshipped. Vyasam Vasishta Naptaram. Vasishta Naptaram means Sage Vyasa comes in the same family of Vasishta. He is the great grandson of Vasishta. So he says, Vyasam Vasishta Naptaram Sakte Pautrama Kalmasham. He is the grandson of Shakti, another sage. And Akalmasham. Pure, immaculate, absolutely pure, immaculate. Parasharatmajam means son of Parasharam Muni. Says Vyasa is born to Parasharam Muni and Satyavati. And to him, Vande. And he is the father of Sukha. Sukatatam Tapo Nidin. Vyasam Vasishta Naptaram Shakte Pautrama Kalmasham Parasaratmajam Vande Sukatatam Tapo Nidin. Treasure out of tapas. Tapas, when you say conservation of energy, particularly dissipated with the lower channels, directing the conserved energy towards the higher, that is tapas. All his life, Sage Vyasa conserved his energy and directed the energy in all these works. So we should get inspired by him and we also should start doing tapas. Tapo nidhi. Next verse. Vyasaya Vishnu Rupaya Vyasa Rupaya Vishnave Namo Vai Brahma Hitaye Vyasishtaya Namo Namaha. Again, translation to Sage Vyasa. Vyasaya Vishnu Rupaya Vyasa Rupaya Vishnave. Vyasa and Vishnu are not two different things. They are not two different people. In other words, says Vyasa is also incarnation of Vishnu. What is he saying? I bow before, says Vyasa, who is Vishnu himself? Vishnu only manifested as, says Vyasa. That is the meaning of the first line. Vyasaya Vishnu Rupaya, Vyasa Rupaya Vishnu. See, the Pratyaksha Bhagavan for all of us is our Guru. That is our culture. That's how they are taught. Guru Brahma, Guru Vishnu, Guru Devo, Maheshwaraha, Guru Saksha, Parabrahma, Tasmai Shri, Gurave Namaha. So, my Guru is reincarnation of Bhagavan. That's the attitude. So, when we do this chanting with understanding itself, you see the purification happening, change in the attitude happening. So, Namo Vai Brahmanidaye. See, I just told you, treasure, the treasure out of knowledge of Brahman, says Vyasa. So, Namo Vai Brahmanidaye, to him I prostrate. Vasishtaya Namo Namaha. He is from the family of Sage Vasishta. What kind of a family is this? His Vasishta, his Shakti, his Parashara, and then Vyasa. Now, the tradition, the family to which his Vyasa belongs, itself is great. So he's saying he comes from that kind of a family, man. It's his lineage. With that, says Vyasa, who comes from the family of Vasishthaji, I say Namaskar, prostrate. Then Adhikaraya Shuddhaya Nityaya Paramatmane Sadaika Rupa Rupaya Vishnave Sarvajishnave Adhikaraya Shuddhaya Nityaya Paramatmane. Changeless Adhikara means changeless. Shuddhaya pure. Nityaya eternal. Paramatmane Supreme Atma. Sadaika Rupa Rupaya. Sada Eka Rupa. You may be seeking all different rupas. That is Sada Eka Rupa. It is Advaita. Advaita Swarupaya. Vishnave. All pervading reality. Sarva Vishnave. Sarva Vishnave means all conquering. So Adhikaraya Shuddhaya. Nityaya Paramatmane. Sada Eka Rupa Rupaya. Vishnave Sarva Vishnave. So pray to Lord Vishnu. Sadaika Rupa Rupaya. Though I am praying Lord Vishnu, I understand inside that what? Vaita Swarupa. That formless reality cannot be conceived by everyone. Therefore, through a form I worship. Absolutely pure, there is no otherness. There is only Brahman. There is nothing else. Therefore, Shuddhaya, pure, Navikaraya, not affected by anything, changeless. Nityaya, eternal, before time. Time begins with the second experience. We started the class, then we end, then we know 1 hour, 15 minutes has gone. So, time is measured with two experiences. But in the very first experience, Brahman should be there. Is there. Therefore, it's called eternal Nityaya Paramatmane. Is the Atma in every being? It is Paramatma, Supreme Being, Sadaika Rupa Rupaya, Advaita Swarupaya. That Vishnu, Sarvajishnave, he conquers everything beyond the gunas, beyond the mind, beyond the body, beyond the whole world. Sarvajishnave, he wins over everything. Yasya smarana matrena janma samsara vandanat vimuchyate namastasme vishnave prabha vishnave om namo vishnave prabha vishnave yasya smarana matrena janma samsara vandanat. Smarana matrena means just by remembering him. Just by remembering him. Janma samsara vandanat. I become free from the janma and the samsara. Absolutely, I become free. Vimuchyate, become free. Namastasmai Vishnave Prabha Vishnave. Prabha Vishnave means Prakarshena. Which that one reality has become manifold. That's what it means. So to that Vishnu, who is Advaita Swarupa, that Advaita Swarupa Vishnu is who has become all these manifold things and beings in this universe. To that Vishnu I say Namaha, I prostrate. Why? That's why remembering him, all the samsara that I created for so many days and jannas goes. He says, Vimuchyate, become absolutely free. So yasya smaranamatrena janma samsara vatanat vimuchyate. Namastasmai, I prostrate to him. Vishnave, Sabha Vishnave. Om Namo Vishnave, Sabha Vishnave. Traditionally you say this. And then the actual Vishnu Sahasranama chapter which is given in the Mahabharata starts. Then, you know, Vaishampayana Muni is talking to Janimejaya. That Vishnu approached to Bhishma and he asked this and that's the whole thing starts. So now today we only completed the introduction and the invocatory prayers. Next week we'll start the actual text. Let's conclude. Oh. ओम पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ओम शांति 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 ओं वाचा मनसेन्द्रियैर्वा बुद्ध्यात्मना वा प्रकृते स्वभावात् करोमि यद्यत् सकलं परस्मै नारायणाय समर्पयामि। हरि ओम। सी यू ऑल नेक्स्ट।